Blog Talk Radio.
Extended version, give them mine right. Yo, what up everybody? The menu, mind your mental, in the house. Big Red Brother B, we up here, we in the house. Another day, Blog Talk Radio, talk to us. What's good, everybody? What's good? How you doing, Red?
Yep, good. I'm good. I'm chilling.
Chilling, that's good. That's good, man. I'm feeling, you know what? I hate, as long as I've been doing it, like working overnight, it's just ridiculous. Because it's like, since I'm off tonight, I can't really sleep during the day. Because if I do, it's going to mess up my sleep for the night. You know what I'm saying? Even though I fell asleep today, which I was trying not to. But now it's like, I'm like really dragging ass right now because I want to go to sleep so bad. Cause I ain't really getting sleep, so right. I'm just like, yeah, I'm fighting. But what's going to be crazy is by the time the end of the episode, I might be all awake, and then I ain't gonna be able to go to sleep, which pissed me off. It's crazy. Yeah, it's just really crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that way.
Yeah, you got some technical difficulties going on. Phone breaking up a little bit.
I don't know. I keep hearing it sound like.
The Matrix
sounds like coming through.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like. Let me find out. You switching up on me? You a Decepticon now?
You hear it now?
Nah. You trying to transform on a brother? What's going on?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Anyway, once again, what up, everybody? It is the menu on Blog Talk Radio. Big Bad Brother B in the house. Guest calling numbers 347-324-3395. That is 347-324-3395. You catch us on the menu, Facebook. The menu, Mind Your Mental, MINDURMENTAL. Or on Instagram, at the menu, Mind Your Mental, MINDURMENTAL. You know, drop us some ideas, you know, drop us a hey, hello, whatever. You know, how y'all doing? You know, things of that nature.
How you doing?
You know, whatever. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? What up to everybody across the globe, you know, overseas, on the different time zones that support us. Thank you very much. We very much appreciate you guys. Yeah. Thank you, and thank you again. Matter of fact, you know, I think we should do the right thing. Give our peoples a shout, the shout outs. Give a shout out.
See.
Yeah, you know, our people in the U.S., people in India, the United Kingdom, Canada, and St. Lucia. What up, St. Lucia? I need to take a vacation there. You know, all these places I would like to go. I would like to go to India. Damn sure I want to go to the United Kingdom. Canada, yeah, because I want to see the Northern Lights. I heard there's a certain part of Canada where you can really get a good look at the Northern Lights.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely, that's on the bucket list, man. That right there is definitely on the bucket list. And St. Lucia, yeah, because I need a vacation. So I can rock with that. But yeah, definitely definitely places that I like to check out, you know. And once again, appreciate, you know, you guys listening in and tuning in and all that good stuff. But, yeah. So, the internet has been blowing up tremendously. We're not, listen, we're not going to get, I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to get into it. Listen, I'm just, listen.
I'm sick of it
too. That whole situation that went down last night on the Oscars, to me, was a sham. Like, they needed ratings. I don't want to believe that someone so talented would do something so stupid. It's possible, but I really don't want to believe it. Besides, you know, I heard Chris Rock, you know, got a boost in ticket sales for his comedy tour because of what happened. So, you know what I'm saying? It's just certain little things that make me realize, like, because, you know, there's people that, you know, stand to gain from it, you know, the network. Because this happened before he got the award, right? Like, how long before the Oscars actually started did this incident happen? Like, was this in the beginning?
Like I said, like, you know, I don't watch this stuff. So I don't even know.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. I would, if it wasn't for what happened, like, I wouldn't have even known that the Oscars was on. Because a lot of people don't watch it.
People usually turn, like, they usually tune into that for the red carpet. That's why a lot of people really go for it or something. Like, these days, that's why a lot of people do the award shows, because of the red carpet part.
Wow. No, I don't really indulge in any of
it. I don't look for that,
you know.
Either. I don't, you know, that doesn't excite me. I don't really, like, you know, the people look nice, of course, when they, I guess because you're used to seeing them in certain things or whatever, and, you know, all right, fine. But I really don't care about what they wear.
Yeah, I'm not about the masquerade, you know what I'm saying, because that's all it is. It's just one big masquerade. I mean, the actors, right? Actors do act, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's whatever. You never know when they're not out of character. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But, you know, all I can say, and all I will say, is when you open the door, me and you had this conversation. When you open the door and leave the door open, expect anything and everyone to walk in.
That's right.
That's just what it is. When you open yourself up to certain things, best believe there are people out there that are going to take advantage, and they're going to use it, you know, either help themselves or ruin you. What the joke that Chris Rock made, I mean, listen, I didn't really, when I actually watched it, I didn't think it was that serious. So I don't know why everybody's so up, you know, got these panties and drawers all up in a bunch. Oh, my gosh, will that. Listen. So, you know what it was. You know what it was all about. You know what I'm saying? Like, even the way he smacked and shit, that shit just looked so fake. Like, it looked rehearsed. But like I said, that's just me. The shit just didn't, you know, look right. It didn't look right. It didn't make sense. There was no logic to it. But I guess in Hollywood, there really is no logic. Because with all the crazy shit that they seem to do in Hollywood, like, there is no purpose of logic. It's all about the shock value of it. It's all about, you know, exposure. It's all about marketing. So, you know, Will Smith gets a little gangster. You know, Will Smith gets a little gangster. And then he makes himself, you know, a little marketable. And then, you know, Chris Rock, you know, people are like, oh, my gosh, what happened to Chris Rock? Let me buy some, tickets to his show and see if he's going to crack some jokes.
Because I know
he's
going to
have some rappers.
It, yeah, he was missing it. Yeah.
And they probably want to see, is Will's handprint still on your face? You know, and then you're going to have,
let me take this. Let me give you a slap. Let me,
Yeah, exactly. And then you're going to have rappers, you know, running to the studio, writing little lines. And, you know, I mean, everybody benefits. The network benefits. The Oscars benefits. Everybody benefits. Yeah. Will Smith ain't lose. You saw him jamming at the after party.
The after party.
With the Oscar in his hand. Yeah, yeah. He was singing, getting jiggy with it. He ain't losing. Everybody else, hey, what's up, Miss Cherry? We're going to get you in a minute. No one's losing. But everybody else is busy. Oh, well, Will Smith, he needed to do that to defend his woman. Oh, well, she ain't never defend. Listen, everybody else talking crap. While they
she's going to benefit all they do.
Yeah, because they're going to do a red table thing, and they're going to sit down and address Will's mental issues, because then, you know, that comes into play.
She's going to address the hair thing, because she ain't even going to please.
Oh, yeah, well, she's going to address the hair thing, but then she's also, you know, going to have Will talk, that Will that was out of line, like, you know, you shouldn't have did, you know, that, yeah, it's like, there's a better way you could have handled it, you know. Like, they're going to paint this picture and yada, yada, yada. And everybody's going to make money because that's what it's about. It's about exposure, marketing, making money.
Yep.
Meanwhile, everybody else that ain't making the money that they making is sitting back talking about, oh, my God, this is crazy. He should sue. Oh, Will should be arrested. Da, 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 da. Listen.
Yeah, oh, my God. He's pressed charge, you know, charges.
It wouldn't surprise me if they all sat down and had breakfast this morning and then was like, yo, you're going to make some money on this, right? Listen,
mm-hmm.
It's Hollywood, right?
Yep.
It's Hollywood. This is what they do. This is exactly what they do. You know, I had a couple of people come at me on some, oh, how could you think of this fake? Listen, why would it be real? Like I said, how many people wasn't watching? Listen, Miss Cherry, let's ask Miss Cherry. How many people do you think weren't watching the Oscars until the slap happened?
I wasn't watching it. I heard about it after it went off.
But how many people do you
Oscars
think?
Oscars is not my thing.
Yeah, it's not my thing either. But how many people you think probably tuned in after that to be like, oh, the new Source Awards? Like, how many people you think probably tuned in after that?
I think everybody does because it's even on, like, primetime news. Like, everyone's talking about it. But
telling
I want to make some comments about that thing. I thought it was fake.
Go ahead.
I still kind of think it's fake because,
me too.
Honestly, the two things I want to point out, if Will Smith got up and hit Chris Rock like that, he didn't even move. So he better rethink throwing hands. I think if Chris Rock would have fought back, I think, yeah, I feel bad for Will. So that's not for him. He shouldn't fight. the second thing I was going to point out is, where's Jada? She hasn't come out to defend her man that defended her.
Oh, hell no. You expected that?
I don't
know
anything.
Yeah, nothing.
I'm not
nothing.
Even expecting it.
Because she's saving it for the table talk. She's saving it for the red table.
Yep.
You're
I don't know.
Even when she do that, she's not going to defend her. She ain't defending her.
Of course not.
I kind of had a feeling. I think there's something else going on besides behind the scenes. Like maybe because if you looked at Jada, she kind of rolled her eyes, but she didn't look angry. It was Will looked up.
Nope.
He laughed. I kind of feel like maybe, I don't know, maybe there was something in the past between Chris and Jada that we don't know about. And then
Remember last year, she was, Hot Rod just hit me up, said that she did make a statement. But, who really knows if these publicists are putting this stuff out? But we're going to have to check into that whole statement thing. But I get where you're coming from with the whole thing of, she didn't look mad. And I was just wondering, what was the purpose of him getting up? Because last year, she was coming at him. Like, we was talking about this on The Absolute Truth last night on Hot Rod Show. And with Sean Black and K-Dog. Rest in peace, Lady T. Yo, where they were talking about how Chris Rock was coming at Jada Pinkett Smith last year because they were boycotting the Oscars. And he was, you know, cracking jokes on her, you know, last year. So my thing is now all of a sudden they're at the Oscars this year, front row. So, all
right.
So let me ask the both of you this.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to tell me that the Academy didn't know that the jokes he was going to say.
Right.
He just went up there and went freestyle. They have to rehearse. So you're trying to tell me that they didn't know what he was going to say? They knew what he was going to say.
Yeah.
They all knew what he was going to say.
And not even that. Last year's joke was more personal. This was like G.I.J. I didn't even get that at first when he said it. I didn't know she had alopecia. Maybe he didn't know. If you didn't know she had alopecia, nobody would be offended. So what is this all about, really? Maybe he doesn't follow her on Twitter. Maybe he doesn't watch the Red Table. I don't
know.
Well, check this out. One thing. Well, Sean Black did bring up something very interesting. Sean Black from Absolute True Show. Monday nights, 10 p.m. gotta plug my people. He did bring up something interesting, and I forgot about this movie. Years ago, Chris Rock did a movie called Good Hair, and it was basically a documentary about how, you know, black women, you know, and the whole hair care industry, the weaves and everything like that. And, you know, I guess it was spawned off of, you know, his daughter and whatever questions she had or some issues, you know, with hair. Like I said, I saw it years ago. I would have to see it again. I really don't remember too much of it. But if he was so insensitive to certain things, why would he have done something like that?
Right.
Like, I don't think, you know, I think there's more to it. And what the more to it I think it was, I think it was just some staged shit to make the Oscars, you know, to get
up.
People watching.
Get the ratings.
And get the viewers up. And not only that, but it was a good distraction. It was a good distraction from all the miserable shit that's going on in the world right now. We're not talking about gas prices right now. We're not talking about the Ukraine or Russia or, you know, the fact that, you know, the president just passed the bill. You know, the Emmett Till bill making it a hate crime, you know, to lynch. You know, this is a great distraction. My bad. I forgot her name. The black woman, congratulations, that was, you know, just put in the Supreme Court.
Oh,
yeah. Right. Wasn't that Miss Jackson?
Yeah.
I wasn't even. Yeah.
Yeah. Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah, my bad. I read, but this wasn't an actual conversation we were supposed to be having, but it happened anyway. But it's a great distraction. It's a great distraction.
Yeah.
But
that's true.
As Sean Black said last night, and we all agreed, that once again, this puts us in a bad, it reinforces a stereotypical light on us. Stereotypical image, and the first word everybody was violence, like in Will Smith's so-called statement, violence is not the answer. What violence? It was just what violence? Like, to me, violence is like some real, you know, scrapping, somebody pull out a weapon or throw a chair or something like that. Like, what violence? That wasn't no damn violence.
That's an assault.
And that's the thing. That's how they view it. That's how it'd be viewed. But
come on. Somebody just walks up to you and slaps you in your face.
But did he really connect with his face? Because it didn't even look like it.
The only thing that looked real to me was when he was saying, keep my wife's name out your mouth. The crying, the throwing of the fist, everything looked fake.
Exactly.
Even, you know, Denzel and them,
everything was fake.
Looked fake. It looked like, I mean, yeah, everything looks fake. It looks staged, except that part. That one, he looked really angry. When I looked at his eyes, he looked angry. But then again, he's an actor. That's what
Once again, actors act.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll never really know. You had a room full of actors. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's response could have been like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you had a room full of actors. Everybody's response could have been on some actors. So we'll never really know. But once again, it's a beautiful distraction from some of the miserable things that's going on right now. It was nice. It was nice to see or hear something different other than war.
That's true.
So,
gas prices.
Yeah, and gas prices, because that's one of the most miserable things in the world, is gas prices, you know. But, I mean, the internet has had its fun. Like, the memes were coming
like
out
always.
Everywhere. Like, I could not believe the amount of memes. Even there was one dude who recreated Will Smith's the intro to French Prince Bel-Air. Yo, I was like, he did that pretty quick. Like, that was
pretty quick. They did all that stuff quick.
Somebody got
too much
time on their hands.
Yeah, people got a whole bunch of time on their hands. They got a whole bunch of my thing is, if y'all got all that knowledge to do all that, yo, like, y'all should be having this world on his behind.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, not at all. What's okay, dog? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Good evening.
Okay, dog.
I was listening. The whole thing was just crazy. It's like a lot of people have different opinions about what took place on Sunday night. And when the incident took place, it happened when they were, from what was said, is that when they showed the nominations for documentary that Chris Rock was presenting. And when he made the joke and he saw Will Smith and Jada and he mentioned about the G.I. Jane, I looked at it many times. And from what I saw was that Jada looked up. At first, Will was laughing, turns around and sees Jada upset. Jada kind of had an uncomfortable look, like her eyes rolled back, and she wasn't laughing. Now,
K-Dog, you do know that's that. I'm sorry, ladies. I'm sorry, but that's that. Oh, you talking shit again, black woman look. That's what that was.
Yeah,
that's
she had that
look.
Whatever.
Oh, you talk. She had that look. Yeah, that was the look. Yeah.
And then so of course, you know, being a man, you know, Will had to, you know, hey, it's either I stand up or, you know, things ain't going to be happy in the home. Now, you know, we all know that they put their business
was
out there.
That
both
the
Jada. Right. Jada and Will put their business out there. Everybody knows that. They did put their businesses out there,
which,
if you don't want to put anything out there, if you don't want anyone to judge you, then what's going on between you and your husband should be in private. You can't put it out. You shouldn't put it out there for the world to see. And that's when people are going to crack jokes. That's why people are going to talk about you, because you put everything out there. So, with that being said, Will Smith sees this. He gets up and slaps Chris Rock. Now, like I said last night, would he have done it had it been anybody else? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But because it's Chris Rock, and Chris Rock, I got to hand it to him, handled it well.
He did. It was in the script.
He handled it well.
It was in the script.
Well, not
first of all.
Will Smith's
form of how he tried to smack him was all wrong, because for a person that went through all types of training for that Ali movie, you trying to tell me that it kind of looked like a sissy smack.
But then after, you know, shouting all of that, yo, man, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth, all of this.
Nah.
And it's...
Nah.
Then see that, and that right there to me, that right there to me even seemed fake. Because why would at a place like that, if you're a class act, at a place like that, you really telling me you're losing your cool and you're going that far on live TV?
That's what I'm saying. Like, why would you?
No, this is what, and
like I said
last night, here's the thing. First of all, as a man, should a man stand up for his woman? Of course he should. That's your wife, okay, you feel something, all right, you feel something was offensive, you have a right to do that. But at the same token, like we said last night, that we as a people, when we go somewhere, you know the old saying, act like you've been somewhere. You felt offended by it? You want to be a man? All right. You know what? Afterwards, you go and confront him, not in a violent way. But you go and confront
him. Right, he can rip that stage and talk to him.
You know, that's what I'm saying. You got to confront somebody like
that. Nah.
You go ahead and confront him and say, hey, listen. You know, you go and confront him and say, you know, what you said was, what was up with that? What you said was offensive. My wife was offended by it, and I didn't like it. Apologize. That's how you
listen,
do it.
She gangster.
But however,
she gangster. What I would have liked to see is her
then,
go up there and smack him.
But see, that's the point. Wait, but that's the point, y'all. She is, that's what she is. She's, well, I'll say, quote, unquote, she's a bird. Will Smith is not like that. That's not what, I don't care about that West Philly. He ain't that West Philly like that. He ain't that rough West Philly.
Yeah,
he's
not
more,
that's
a
not
little,
him. That's
he's
never
a
been
little
him.
Toned down from that. He's like a wannabe. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's
the
one
but you know what happened during the in the commercial break. From what I learned about the commercial break, that Denzel Washington, Bradley Cooper, and Tyler Perry went over and spoke to him about what happened.
About what? About what?
About him going on the stage and acting the way he did.
Listen, it's too late. Damage was done. That's what I'm saying. If,
it was
if,
damage.
If it wasn't, if it wasn't scripted, put it like this. It's too late. Damn is done. But once again, obviously, it really didn't hurt him because at the end of the night, he was getting jiggy with it with the Oscar in his hand. So it really didn't matter.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's right. That's the whole thing. None of it really mattered. Everybody made off like a bandit.
So when I was looking at it, body language, if you saw Will Smith was walking towards him, and you could tell when somebody's walking towards you aggressive. Did y'all notice that Chris Rock dropped his hands behind his back? Somebody's coming up on you aggressive.
Yep.
You going to hide your hands behind your back? No, because he knew that he was going to have to take a slap. So he needed to expose himself because you would definitely put your hands up front.
Exactly.
That's why I thought it was fake. And I didn't really see the hand connect anyway.
You know what? What I appreciated what I felt was more real, because I thought it was fake years ago. Remember when Bush had to do the dip when the cat with the dude threw the shoe at him?
When he threw
like
the
that right there. That. Yeah, this is not. Nah, this last night at the Oscars, take the cake over the shoe toss. Nope, because I thought like Bush had. Now see, Bush's joint looked way more real. Like, I really think that was real. Like, because he had his dip on.
Absolutely.
You could tell he was physically fit. He dipped. He threw the shoe. Then he threw another shoe, and he was ready for that one, too. And he stayed cool. He didn't look mad. He had this little smirk on his face. He's like, yeah, like Texas style. Like, that was cool. You know what I'm saying? But last night,
I don't think it was staged. Hello, brother B and the rest of the gang. This is Joe.
Thank you, Joe, for agreeing. It wasn't fake at all because from what we saw, here's the thing. Again, oh, man, brother. Okay, Joe, go ahead and talk, bro.
Yeah, why do you want to say I'm going to throw a shoe at you, Joe. I'm going to throw a shoe at you.
I would have done it.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a shoe
at you. Put his tape on it.
I'm going to have to be ready with my Iraqi diplomat. The guy that threw that shoe, they put him in jail, but I don't know for how long. But no, he couldn't have been staged. You know why? Because it would make both of them look like real, real fools if it came out that it was staged.
It won't come
out.
You know that's not going to come out.
Nah,
that's
I think
we don't know that. No, we don't know that.
I think it'll come out
sooner or later. If it was staged, it would have came out already. Because you know what? A lot of people are looking at it. Then this morning, earlier today, what do you know, Will Smith issued a long apology, and Jim Carrey said what made him upset is that he was very upset that Will Smith got a standing ovation when he won that award for Best Actor.
Why did it make him upset?
A lot of men are going to be on his side, and the women are going to be on his side, too. Yeah, he did commit assault, okay? Well, but I'm surprised that Chris Rock isn't considered a punk because he didn't do anything. And I don't believe it was staged at all. You're going to have to pay somebody
Chris Rock
lose.
I don't understand why
he's
going to
get paid.
No, Chris Rock would look like a punk.
Chris Rock carried himself. That's the whole thing.
Do you know we said it early in the show, his ticket sales went up. He's doing a tour. You know, people bought more of his tickets. Even the prices on the tickets went up.
Yeah, but you know what people are going to say about him from now until the day he dies?
What, he going to the bank?
Yeah, that too. But when he appears at a concert, if it's going to be as wide and large as a concert, they're going to say, you better make us, better be funny or we're going to Will Smith you.
Yeah, but listen, hey, who cares? Listen, look at Lionel Richie. They was talking junk about Lionel Richie. He still got all the Commodore and Lionel Richie money.
Well, did Lionel Richie ever get smacked?
He let his wife beat his ass.
By that wife.
You remember that years ago? He let his wife beat
his ass.
Well,
that's his wife. Everybody gets
to keep that money.
Their wives. Everybody gets to fight with their wives.
Yeah,
but
if he would have hit back.
Oscar.
But
look, I believe that, what's
his
name? If he got divorced, I think. Yeah, I think he got divorced, and he lost half his assets anyway. I think, first of all, that's another topic.
And
I think men who are celebrities.
Remarried, so.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I think they're stupid. Celebrities with millions of dollars in assets, with all the women chasing you don't need to get married. But that's another topic. First off, we all know that Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, they're two of the weirdest in Hollywood. They have what's called an open relationship, which means...
And they put it
Jada,
out there for the world to see.
Yeah, they say they have this open relationship. I think Jada's told good old Will, you know, you're not doing it. I'm going out there and I'm doing everybody and you can't stop me. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons why he got up from his chair last night to try to prove to her that he's a man.
Well, listen, if he did that, he's a fool.
Listen.
You
because you know again, anybody who saw it, he was laughing at first, but when he turned around and saw the way Jada looked, you know what? I better do something before I have to hear it. So that's
what
that though. Listen, before we.
Yes, she
was.
Yeah,
me neither. That was that black woman, Negro, please look.
Whatever look.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Not enough to warrant his reaction. She wasn't that upset.
Exactly. She didn't, jump up and, say, what? Yeah, she's not that.
I agree with
you. Watch the tape again, watch the video again, you could see that she was upset. She was upset.
But
I brought at it over and over.
But Chris Rock has a history of digging into it at the 2016.
Of roasting. And again, there's been many comedians who have done it
that's
before.
Exactly. So
a lot of comedians are coming to Chris Rock's side because you know why? They've done it. Many comedians have made controversial moves. Many of them have said controversial jokes. Many of them have roasted people, like I said last night. There's been many comedians who's roasted many, many, many celebrities.
I think there's bad blood
between the families anyway. I think there is because that kind of joke, first off, from what I heard, I saw the whatever was presented on YouTube, I saw it, but they didn't show Chris Rock roasting everybody in that row before he got to Jada Pinkett. So it wasn't as though he just picked out a bald-headed woman. He roasted everybody, got to her, and mentioned the movie that she's in, G.I. Jane. That is
no,
not,
that wasn't a movie she. That wasn't a movie that she was in. No, that was
she's
a movie that Demi Moore was in.
Right,
she's coming.
G.I. Jane 2.
G.I. Jane 2 is what she's coming out in, right?
No,
she's,
this is
no,
G.I. Jane 2.
No,
that was just a joke.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
It was, all about the. No, you know what it is? No, because
I'm
making a joke. Yeah.
It's part of the joke. G.I. Jane 2 isn't out yet. They haven't even thought about it.
I know. It's supposed to be 2023. That's what somebody told me last night. That G.I. Jane 2 is supposed to be out, and she's in it. She's supposed to be G.I. Jane.
Well, before we jump on the main topic, lastly, I will say this. It's two things. One is there was some type of comparison made in saying that it was deeper in terms of what what the joke was. Because apparently in the original movie, Demi Moore, who actually stepped out on her husband for a younger Ashton Kutcher. So if you get the subliminal, you get the subliminal.
Right.
And the second thing is, and Hot Rod does make sense. You know, he texted me and said, was she upset at Chris Rock for his joke or Will Smith for laughing at it? I think it's for Will Smith laughing at it. Yeah, I think that was really not happening. But so once again, it's the menu on Blog Talk Radio. Guest calling numbers 347-324-3395. We got Mr. Joe, K Dog, Miss Cherry, Big Red, Brother B in the house. And our topic for tonight. Criminal minded. Now, we have all sat back and once again, thank you for the internet for the, Will Smith and Chris Rock for the distraction. But, yo, when we look back right now, the crime surge, not just in New York City, but just across the country, everywhere, it's really, really getting out of control. I'm wondering, if we're seeing, a whole revamp of the 1980s, not just in New York, but everywhere. Do we put some blame on the pandemic, or is this just something that has just been on the rise in general? Because I was actually doing some reading, and they were trying to say, this is an article in Time magazine, they were saying that crime has been on the rise since 2014, especially gun violence. So the pandemic really had nothing to do with it, but I think I beg to differ, because if you look at it, what was really going on in 2020? Nothing. It wasn't really much of anything. People weren't on the streets. There was nothing going on. Crime and everything was just at an all-time low. Now that the locks off the cage, they're lifting all the mandates. There's also this bail reform bill that they passed in New York. Yeah, everybody outside now, and it's they losing their damn mind. So I'm going to go to Miss Cherry, then Mr. Joe, then K-Dog, and then Big Red. But Miss Cherry, what do you think about this?
I think it has always been a problem. I agree with the 214 statistics. Because those ghost guns and things just didn't appear in 2020. I think because everyone is home and everyone has a camera, that now these incidents are being recorded. And they can be sent worldwide over TikTok or Facebook. It's no longer just in your neighborhood around the corner, you know what's going on. Anybody around the world could find out. So, the Bail Reform Act is a major problem. That just said that if you did something and you got caught, can't hold you in jail because of COVID, so we're going to give you an appearance ticket. You get to go home. And guess what? If you do it again, it's not a second offense. It's a completely different offense. So it's one and one. It's not considered you did it today and this is the second offense doing the second the same thing. They don't count as the same. So what we have is people that are literally committing crimes, walking in, getting an appearance ticket, walking back home, and doing the same thing over again. And that's a problem.
Mm.
It's a problem. The crime in New York, put my son on a plane today at 4 to go back to where he's living. He came out here with one of his friends who had never been to New York. And I have to be quite honest, I was nervous. He wanted to go into Manhattan. He wanted to – his friend wants to see all the touristy stuff. He wanted to take him to Brooklyn and stuff. I'm like, you – I was telling him, it's not the same city as when you left 2 years ago. You got to watch your back. You guys got to watch each other's back. You know, people are running down the street like cowboys and Indians, shooting all over the place, and they're killing babies and older people. It's crazy. I don't want you to bring your
especially
friend out
in the subway
for the first time.
From what I hear.
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't want you to bring your friend out here for the first time, and he has a horror story going back home.
Right.
But we were just, you know, but he's on his way home now. I was nervous the whole time. Usually I'm not.
Oh,
he knows his way around the city.
Definitely. Mr. Joe.
I'm looking up G.I. Jane 2. Doesn't seem to exist. Okay.
Oh,
well. So, you guys are talking about the criminal. I put myself on yes. hold so I wouldn't disturb anybody while I was doing
well,
it.
Hold on, Mr.
So you
Joe.
Guys are talking
well,
about...
Hold on, Mr.
Okay.
Joe, real quick. I just recently heard about a story. And you're absolutely right, Ms. Jerry, how, you know, you have people come visiting and then something happens. And it's just like, wow, I was just in New York for such and such. I was looking at the story about how this guy just came from Jamaica. He was only in the country, in New York, for like 5 months, maybe. He got into an argument with a girl. I guess she was beefing that he was maybe standing too close to her, you know, in the Dunkin' Donuts. Next thing you know, she went out to her boyfriend. Boyfriend killed him.
Followed him down the street, arguing with him. And it was all because she felt he was standing too close.
Yeah. I mean, you got to expect that in large cities. You have to expect that in large cities like Los Angeles, New York, Detroit, because we all know about the Soros Fund, the DAs and attorney generals who have raised the bar on felonies. So before, if you stole $150, you could get picked up, you could be tried, you could be held maybe without bail, maybe with cash bail. For $150 offense on a very strong misdemeanor or a felony charge. Now it's $900, $950 in some cities per offense. You've got gangs that go from store to store, robbing up to about $900 worth of merchandise, going to the next door, to the next door, to the next door, because they can't be tried on all of them cumulatively. And if they're tried on even one of them, they get out on no cash bail. And then if they get sentenced, they get probation. So you're going to have a spike in crime. It's only natural. If you incentivize the criminals, then criminals are going to do what they do, become more like criminals.
So let me ask K-Dog. So K-Dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A Bernard Getz situation. And we all remember Bernard Getz. Would you see that as a person being wrong for being out there defending themselves or doing whatever it took to defend themselves?
Yeah, the second part I will say, doing what they can to defend themselves. The problem is that okay, like we all know what happened in 2020 here in New York City. You know, we've seen it. I could say that there's an app on my phone, the Citizens app. I remember a friend of mine told me about it and said, man, get that, man, because, you know, you get to see things. And let me tell you, every night something was ringing. You heard about somebody getting robbed.
Oh, yeah.
There was a fight somewhere. And dig this. No, it's going to get more interesting. And as for the subways, being that there was less people on the trains, on the days that I had to go into work, I could tell you, there was an incident that happened right in front of me we saw more homeless people on the train. More homeless people. There was one time that I got on the train, and train pulled into a stop, and some crazy nut got on there. And luckily, I had gotten off. And when we looked, a lot everybody just got off because he was running back and forth inside of the train, you know, banging around, banging on the windows, acting crazy. Here we have it now. It's like, okay, we're going to put police officers on every train. And so far, I could say I could count how many times I've seen a cop on a train. And
but
there's been many
instances. They don't have the manpower.
Yeah.
They don't have the manpower.
No, they don't. And
no,
that's
they don't
the
have
problem.
It.
We're going to do something about the homeless. I'm like, listen, first of all, something should have been done a long time ago, especially those who have mental issues. There should have been better housing because a lot of homeless people, when you speak to them, they're saying they don't want to go inside the shelters.
Yeah, because they're overcrowded for one thing.
Yeah, they're overcrowded.
They're saying it's too dangerous.
That's another thing they're saying is too dangerous.
It's too dangerous because there's been many incidents that have happened of people getting robbed, people getting beaten up,
women getting
raped.
Yeah.
Things like that. And you know, you're mixing in you have those that are drug addicts and those who are mentally insane.
So
along with those that you have all of them mixed in one room, been on cots, and you can't have that. Because you have to live in trouble.
Since you guys are from New York, Rikers Island is supposed to be one of the worst detention cities in the country. I heard that closed down because they allowed transgenders in there, and the transgenders were raped.
No, it's still open.
No, it's still open. They're trying to.
Oh, there's no transgenders.
They're trying to slowly close it down because, I mean.
Violence.
They're talking about, it's just crumbling or whatever, and they're just looking for a reason to spend more money to build more jails. That's all. There's big money in prison. But let me ask Red this. So, Red, what do you think about how they've been using, like, hotels? Like, they'll build these hotels and put them in certain areas or use hotels in certain areas in neighborhoods and house homeless people there. Like, what do you think about
that? That's horrible because it's like you're building hotels instead of building housing or actually, building for people. You put these people in the hotels, and it's plenty. I mean, a whole bunch of them I'm seeing, but, when you say, tell people about that or you ask them, oh, well, I didn't know they built a name like that's a hotel for, homeless, or they put people, homeless. So it's just like, why aren't they building housing? Now, if you look at downtown Brooklyn, y'all got all this construction going on and then builders. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can't make at least one or two of them low income, you know those housing.
Exactly.
People can't afford that. People like that are not going to be able for the people of like us are not going to be able to afford. You know that. But then you're saying you're saying there's a homeless problem, but then build something for these people. You're going to throw them in a hotel, and then guess what? That's temporary. Some people can't stay in a hotel forever. They don't want to stay in a hotel forever. So then what do you think is going to happen? They're going to end up being back out on the street, and then it's going to be a cycle all over again. And a lot of people that have children, you can't live out of a hotel with your children. Come on, what are y'all doing?
But another thing is, before Ms. Cherry jumps in, another thing is that the people in the neighborhood are very much against it because it changes the dynamics. Once what was once a peaceful or maybe quiet neighborhood, now you have people outside, because they don't really care. Those homeless people, they come from someplace else. They put them in there. They say, hey, you guys stay. So they're coming outside. And some of them may live there to just actually try to get their stuff together. But then you have others outside pissing, smoking, screaming, yelling, drinking in front of the place. Meanwhile, that quiet neighborhood is being disrupted. So this is why it's like you know, it's a back and forth. With 1 minute, they try to give them something, but yet then it gets messed up. The neighborhood is against it, because I've seen a few of these stories where they're just like, we cannot have this in our neighborhood. We do not want this in our neighborhood. Because it turns down and brings down. Yeah.
They've gone to local politicians and say, we don't want this in our neighborhood. Get these people out. You know, we don't want them in our neighborhood. We got our children here. We got schools here. It's being built too close to a school. And, you know, some of these people, you can't trust them.
They all have mental issues. I befriended a homeless guy over the summer. And because he seemed like he was a normal guy who just was out on his luck, just got evicted and stuff. So he was a regular in the park, right? And other people had befriended him, and he seemed to have this real normal personality. But as it turned out, the guy was taking drugs. He was lying to people about it. He had lapses in personality. His personality changed over a while, over a certain period of time. And now nobody wants to talk to him because the guy is schizophrenic but hiding.
Oh,
and this was a guy that looked like he was sane. That looked like, you know, he was just down on his luck. Because a lot of people, you can be evicted after about a few months of not paying your rent and running out the clock on the court. So sometimes, you know, you just have bad luck not getting a job and you get evicted. So that's what this guy seemed to be like. But that from that experience alone, a lot of people do befriend other homeless people. They give them money. Some people will buy them lunch. Some people actually take them to like Dunkin' Donuts and places and talk to them. But they have mental issues. So the people who do not want the homeless in their neighborhood, I'm all for it. I say, I don't blame you.
I was just going to say, in the New York area, right now I was reading, we have 2,500 transitional homes that are not being used. So for whatever reason, we do have housing, but they're not giving it to the people that need it. And it's not just a housing issue, like you mentioned, Joe. It's more mental health. So you can offer
they're not giving
housing.
Them the mental health.
Yeah, they don't. You can sit them up in a nice house, but if they're not mentally well, they are not thinking, no, you can't go into this neighborhood and pee in front of the building, or don't talk to the children as they're trying to get to school and bother them. They actually need more mental health and also using these transitional houses to make sure that they're safe and off the street, but they're also getting their medical needs addressed. And they're not doing that. And Mayor Adams keeps, you know, bail reform, do something, they go in, they come back out, they're back on the streets, and it's still a problem. So that's what we're having
a problem with.
We have the housing.
Well, you know,
not addressing their mental health needs, and we're letting them in and out, with no type of recourse until you get to stand in front of a judge, but the court systems are backed up.
Check this out. So there's a couple of issues to this. All right, number one, it's like who's going to be responsible for the tending to the people with the mental health issues? Like the city and the state and the government, they don't want to be responsible for that. Like they'll put them in, they'll say, hey, put them in a little program. If they want to help themselves, they'll help themselves. If they don't want to help themselves, who cares? Let them go piss on the streets, slip on a train or whatever. But the city is going to get the money from the government to do what needs to be done, but it doesn't mean everything is going to be allocated. They're going to take what they're going to do the minimum to try to get the maximum. But that's number one. But the other part of it is you do have individuals out there who play that mental issue role when there's nothing wrong with them. And those are the ones, those are really the most dangerous. Those are the ones where when a lot of people want to criticize PD for doing certain things, and, you know, I got to call a spade, you know, I got to give props to some of these cops out here because they deal with a lot of shit. The fact is they can't grab up somebody the right way without somebody putting a camera on them and somebody shouting out, oh, I got mental issues. No, you don't. You're just trying to play it off. You're using it as an excuse, you know, and a lot of people don't really think about that portion of it. So
somebody, so Mr. Joe is on a train in New York City and he's chilling. And the next thing you know, somebody comes and sits next to him and smacks him in the face. And Mr. Joe turns around and cracks his ribs and busts his head open. So the cops come and say, goddamn, Mr. Joe, you did a job on this dude. We're going to have to take you in. Why are you going to take Mr. Joe in? Oh, because the guy said he had mental issues. That's not fair. That's not right. No. Just because he said
my brother
he,
B.
What's up?
Yeah, Brother B, I'm gonna let you know something else that I found out today. Okay, there was a report of a man that was attacked in Midtown in front of a train station because he said that, you know, after being cooped up in the house for so long that he wanted to, you know, explore, go out and do his favorite thing. 73-year-old elderly man, he goes to buy his lottery ticket and he wants to attend mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral. And as he's getting out of the train station, he's being followed by some guy that's verbally cursing at him and yelling at him, and he tries to avoid him. And once he gets outside, the guy shoves him down to the ground hard and tries to rob him. And when he didn't get a chance to, he runs back inside the train station, of course, jumping the turnstile, but they got his face on camera. Well, you know, today he was arrested, and the guy's been identified as a homeless guy who has numerous arrests, has a huge arrest record.
There was a case that was, like, so disgusting. Asian lady was sitting in the subway system, and that homeless guy walks over and smears feces in her face.
Yeah.
So that's the same thing?
It's not the same guy that was arrested today. It's so much happening. So basically, what happens is you take those things and then it makes you wonder. Not to say that it's correct, not to say that it's right. Once again, I'm not condoning any type of violence, murder, you know, homicide, or whatever. But remember, a couple of weeks ago, there was a guy out there that was killing homeless people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did somebody do something to that person, or maybe do something to that person's loved one? I don't know. Is this a person that just went out there and just snapped? See, this is the thing.
But there's another thing too, brother.
What's up?
From what I understand about New York, you guys have laws that are very, very restrictive on citizens actually defending themselves. I saw a video one time where a guy was backing down from another guy, backing down. And the other guy kept walking after him, kept putting his hands on the other guy. And the other guy, he body slammed him, lets him up, walks away again. The guy keeps walking after him. People had to intercede, and the cops finally came. When you see something like that, and you know that the guy that was walking away is going to get, you know, a good tongue lashing by the judge, you say to yourself, you know what? Even if I walk away, I'm going to get into some kind of legal trouble. So the best thing I'm going to do is just bash this guy's head in, because nothing worse is going to happen to me, whether I walk away or don't walk away. I'm going to end up, getting fined in some way, or not going to jail necessarily, but having to go to court. So I don't envy you guys in New York.
Listen, Mr. Joe, but I will tell you straight up, by no means am I a tough guy. But I will tell you one thing. I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
By 6. You got that right.
Yeah, I'd rather be judged by 12, because the whole thing is this. There comes a point, you're absolutely right. The laws here are very restrictive. Like, you can turn around and be a victim 1 minute and then be the perpetrator the next. All because of certain actions. Or it's just like you just talked about that scenario of the guy following him. And once you put your mm-hmm. hands on somebody, you're fair game. But it's what happens after that. And some people, you know, they continue to, like, beat their aggressor until a bloody pulp. Then you go from the victim to the perp. You go from, you know, the victim to the aggressor.
Oh yeah.
And no, and I feel there's issues in that, because listen, you never know. Somebody may be having a bad day. Somebody could have been having a bad year, and they're going to take all them 12 months out on you as soon as you start fucking with them.
Yep.
But at the same time, if you let the guy up, the guy then reaches into his back pocket, takes out a knife, and stabs you. So I'd rather see somebody who's an aggressor get beat to a bloody pulp than the person who's backing away simply because he's trying to do the right thing. Because as you said, and I've agreed with him many a time, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
So now, with that being said, I'm going to tell you about this case that I just saw. So there was this guy in Philadelphia. I think it was a liquor store. There was an ATM in the liquor store. The guy was using the ATM machine. Young kid comes in with a gun, puts it to him. I don't know what in the name of Steven Seagal, because on camera, it was so quick. But I don't know what in the name of Steven Seagal, but he took the gun from him, and he shot the kid multiple times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, I got to look at read the story again, but something happened, and then next thing you know, I guess the guy, something happened with the gun. It went off, and then it hit the other dude that was waiting outside, basically like the scout. So it hit. Mm-hmm. He didn't even mean to shoot him, and he just got shot. Like, I just took it as, yo, the universe don't sleep. So they jumped in the car. A couple of blocks away, they found the first guy who got the gun taken away from him, dead in the car, and the other one ran off. Yo, listen. Eventually, there's some type of recourse. There's some type of consequence. Like, you can't go out here and do things and think that nothing is going to come back to you. You can't. Like, there are people out here that are actually going to fight back. This is my issue going forward. What happens when everybody gets tired of being a victim? This is one of the reasons why, I mean, we lost Mr. Joe. Mr. Joe dropped. But if you still listen to Mr. Joe, this is one of the reasons why that the laws are so restrictive in certain places. Because once they take that lid off, oh, it's open season.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody with a little bit of attitude. What you say? Bang. Like, yo, I was asking what crime it was. I wasn't trying to, like, rob
That's
you.
Right.
Like, people will interpret with whatever. Oh, I didn't feel safe. Oh, I didn't do this, so I had to do that.
Well, you know what
like,
it is?
That's one of the reasons. That's one of the problems.
This is a growing problem, and a lot of people are getting frustrated because,
yes,
here in New York City, people have been going after Mayor Adams. And, you know, it all started with Mayor de Blasio, who kind of was lenient towards the laws concerning those with mental issues and all. I mean, okay, like you said earlier about the hotels, and people just don't want them around. Why not do something different? You know, because you cannot put regular cops on someone who is mentally insane.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that because it's like it's going to be a problem because that's what causes, you know, people are like, oh, man, the cop didn't have to shoot him. I'm like, listen, the police officers are not trained. They're trained to deal with criminals, but not with those with mental issues.
Nope.
They're not trained for that. So how could you call the police if you're going to call 911 on someone who has a mental issue, who's going crazy, who's running through the streets screaming or throwing things around and acting up?
Yeah,
you can't call the cops on them. You have to call people that are trained to deal with those that have mental issues.
But nobody's going to take that job, man. Nobody's going to take that job.
And that's a sad part
about it. That's why there are issues now. Nobody's going to take that job.
I was going to say, I kind of have a problem with Eric Adams, and I've been a supporter. There's a lot of things I don't agree with. Like, right now, he's trying to, for citizens being able to film, they see as crimes.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to make that like a fine or something. He doesn't want, you know, regular citizens walking up, seeing the police making what looks like an unlawful arrest or, you know, even arrest with overly aggressive policing. he doesn't want citizens filming that. So now they're trying
well,
to
wait a minute, wait a minute.
Where...
Wait, not to cut across. I think what it is you have some people that are getting too close to the action.
Mm-hmm.
With their can't, with, you know what I'm saying? They're getting too close to the police. Like, if you're going to film,
what's
do it from
close?
A distance.
It's too
yeah.
close. They're too close
well,
to George
listen.
Floyd, where they told them sit on the sidewalk so they couldn't get an angle. So what's too close is Devin makes them uncomfortable so that they cannot be filmed and heard doing what they're doing.
Touche. I agree.
But
that's
now
a,
you
that's
don't have...
Because that's a good question. What is too close?
So now you don't have the proof of over-policing or police brutality because this guy is telling you step back, go to the end of the block so they can go ahead and handle whatever they want to do over here. That's a big decision that, amongst others, that I really have a problem with him because it's almost like you're not going to make police accountable, but also making it where citizens can't have proof that the police did this. And without proof, they're walking, they're not going to be accountable. They're back to the streets doing the bad policing that they did. And this is not all police officers. There are more good than bad. If you don't bang and you don't stand up, you're just as bad, if not worse. And Eric Adams is trying to get that push. Trying to get that push where you're fined for getting too close and filming.
Well, he's not my mayor. That's number one.
Right.
So I don't live in the boroughs, but he's not my mayor. But no, I don't live in the boroughs, so he's not my mayor.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is, okay. Yes. But the thing is,
he ain't
I've
my mayor
really,
either. I live in the boroughs.
He ain't mine.
I've never been fond of him or his politics, or his grandstanding, or Amos and Andy dance. I've never been fond of anything from him whatsoever. Listen, congratulations to him. I hope he can do the job, but you know, that's to the public. That's for the public and the people who voted for him. I very much disagree with that law that he is trying to push, because if you're going to sit there and basically try to make it comfortable for the cops to do wrong, then you're wrong as well. But a lot of people are not going to look at it like that, because a lot of people out here believe that there are officers out there that can do no wrong. And if they do wrong, maybe the criminal deserved it.
Exactly.
I remember one time someone that I really had respect for at one time, because he actually was very instrumental in training me when it came down to firearms. And he was an ex-cop, and he said, listen, Byron, either you're anti-cop or pro-criminal. And I said, wow, that's a hell of a choice.
Mm-hmm.
That just because I don't agree what's going on or what certain cops may do, you're trying to tell me that I'm pro-criminal? Like, that was very insulting. And I think, like, I really just don't even deal with that guy anymore. And I used to have a tremendous amount of respect for him, go to him for, like, damn near everything. But now I just can't. Because if you really think it's that serious, if you really think that putting people in that uniform on a pedestal is one thing, it's a job that you retire from. It's not, you know what I'm saying? Who you are is who you are. So I think a lot of people with bad character put on this uniform and they continue to be who they are. At the end of the day, they take the uniform off, but you can't take off your character.
No.
So who's to say that some of them are just as bad as criminals? Some of them actually foster that type of environment. I mean, listen, we live in a country where it's all crime pays in more ways than one. The criminals don't really get the big payday. It's the court system. It's the law enforcement system. All of them, all these people who pay money for prison, they get this money. So, of course, that whole bail reform thing, I don't even know what was the purpose And if people are going to try to say, oh, because of people like Khalif Browder and what happened to him, you know, so wait a minute. So you're really trying to tell me that you're going to take a situation like that of what happened to Khalif Browder and use part of that as some reason to come up with some type of bail reform? What happened to Khalif Browder was a tragedy. What happened to Khalif Browder and many others was where the system screwed up at, and nobody gave a damn. But you actually have criminals out here. That dude that smeared that feces on that lady, he I think he went out there. He got caught on another crime.
Yeah.
They let him out. I think he went out there and did something else. Huh?
Yeah, and he's probably back on the street by now.
Yeah.
And that's
we can expect
like,
a lot more.
Thing about it. But that's the
exactly.
scary thing about it. It's like they're letting these people out, and they're walking among us, and then when they do something else, it's like, why would you let that's like that situation. Why would you let someone back out that did that? That's not like, you know, that woman is probably traumatized, and I'm sure she is, but it's just like you're letting these people out, and then, they, like I said, they're walking among us.
It doesn't make sense, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Keep them in now, they're making it a hate crime because he was Asian. You know, the big push now is that whenever there's a crime against an Asian person by minority, they are pushing that to be a hate crime, whether or not it is. This man obviously is mentally ill. I'm not saying, I don't know if he targeted her because she was Asian or just because he's sick. Might have done the same thing to me, but it's going to be tried as a hate crime.
Right, because they passed that law. What was it last year?
Yeah, well, the purpose of hate crimes is just to elevate the sentences. It's not to restore law and order. It's just to make people who commit a crime serve more time, which serves the for-profit prisons.
Yeah, it actually makes the charge stick. It makes it stick. You know, because if it wasn't considered a hate crime, then they probably would be on that bail reform train and they'd let him out the next day. But since it's a hate crime, it's like, nah, we can't let you out. We can't let you out to possibly do it again.
Has been a large increase of attacks on Asian people recently in New York. We all know that.
Well, because you know, a lot of people are still looking at them sideways because they feel that, oh, they're responsible for COVID.
For COVID.
For the corona, yeah.
Yeah, some people still have that ignorant and talking about, oh, they made COVID. Yeah, but they also make the Chinese food. They also make 90% of the products that you have in your home. So what the hell are you talking about? They're also giving you bottles at the liquor store, asshole. So you know what I'm saying? So it's like, what is your reasoning for going out there and messing with them?
Because you're mentally ill. It doesn't matter if you're officially mentally ill or if you're just a wise ass who wants to get into trouble. You have some sort of mental issue that causes you to be an aggressor against somebody who didn't do a damn thing to you. And now with the laws being as lax as they are, and you guys, you might as well buckle up because you're headed for more trouble.
Well, you know what the thing is, Mr. Joe, with me, like I work two jobs. I have two jobs that put me in a situation where I'm probably one of the last people that you want to confront on the street while I'm leaving home and on my way to work and leaving work on my way home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably one of those last people you want to do that to. And see, the thing is this. I never wanted to get into that type of situation. But, you know, when it comes down to, you know, my instructors and people on my job, hey, listen, you do what you have to do to make sure this doesn't happen. And I don't take it as a green light to go out there and be crazy, but I don't want to be involved in any type of violent confrontation or have to deal with any of that. There's a lot of times that I've had to actually get off the train or just stop myself to get away from something that I've seen was about to escalate into something else.
That's my attitude now. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I get it. But the whole thing is, how many times am I going to keep getting off the train? How many times am I going to, like, go left or go right and get a walk away from something? What if I got to go to this certain place, but yet I see things are getting crazy, so I got
to
leave?
And you shouldn't have, and how many times do I have, shouldn't have to do that.
Well, then
it's a lot going on.
I've been in five
situations.
Because
you know what it is?
When I was younger, five. I interviewed five times. One of them I knew, a neighbor, or a friend of a neighbor. The other four, I didn't even know them, but I wanted to calm things down. I'm not ever doing that again. Because one of these, years ago, I said to myself, you know what, Joe, one of these days, somebody's going to take out a knife and just stab your ass.
Or
so
even worse, they'll shoot you. Because you know what? There have been cases where people have been intervening in fights. I mean, I knew someone who did that, and he ended up getting stabbed. And the person pulled out a knife and stabbed him. He survived it, though, but he was like, he's never doing that again.
Right.
Of course not.
That's a shame.
And
it's a shame because now you're starting to see films where people are being attacked and a whole bunch of people are just standing there looking. Have a crowd. They can see. I saw something. This guy was at McDonald's, I think, and he was ordering food. This guy just walks up to him, drags him backwards, starts beating him up. He's kicking him on the ground, and you got somebody just standing there looking. Because I'm unconscious, takes his money and stuff and walks out.
Yeah.
Now,
there watching.
Yeah. Let me take that. I'm going to run with that. I pray that I'm never in the midst of work or on my way home or something like that, and I'm put in that situation, because then I'm forced to act. I don't have to, but if I don't and I see it and I witness it, then there's going to be questions of why didn't you act? A law enforcement officer, no, but because I carry, there's certain consequences that come with. Oh well, if you saw this. If you saw deadly physical force or you saw this happening, you're supposed to do this or you should do that.
There was a case in Manhattan. I think it was a security guard for a hotel. He was, like, at the door, and this homeless guy walked up to this woman, and I think he started beating her unconscious, like, right in front of the hotel. And you could see the security guard just sitting there watching. And they blamed him for that, but... In all honesty, was it his job to come out onto the street corner and stop that? Or would that just have been the right thing to do?
That's a very good question, because security guards are not supposed to use aggressive force unless somebody puts their hands on them. They're supposed to back off. People don't know that.
Well, it depends. Well, how it works here, it depends on the situation. If it's on the property, then you have a duty to act, but at the same time, it can be argued that self-preservation, like, you know, you got to, it really depends on the situation. It really depends.
Yeah, it was on the sidewalk. I seen that. That was like last year.
Yeah.
I think was it last
yeah.
year? It might have been last
yeah.
year that happened. And I said the same thing. I'm like, well, why didn't somebody come and help that lady? And mind you, she was Asian as well. And that's when that I think before that bill had passed. You know, that homeless guy. They had he just got out. He had just gotten out of I don't know if it was Rikers. But they had just let him go, and he was out there like, huh?
He grabbed, just picking on stuff like that. They're sitting up there watching.
You can also sue the security guard too. You can sue them. They don't want to be sued. If you're a cashier retail in the retail trade,
the company won't back you, because if the company says, "Well, did it have anything to do with the hotel? Did she leave the hotel? Was she a patron in the hotel?" Because if it had nothing to do with the hotel or what you were guarding, then it wasn't your responsibility. Then you'll have law enforcement that may look at it differently. It's that moral clause.
Yeah, but a security guard, from what I understand, in New York, security guard in New York cannot intervene unless somebody puts their hand. Why do you think people are riding around in bikes in New York, robbing them, and the security guards are letting them ride right out of the store? Because if they intervene, the company says you shouldn't have done that. Security guards are there for psychological reasons. They're not there to really enforce any type of protection.
Security is all about detect and serve report. I've been in this game for 30 years, man. So I know how it goes. I mean, I've been in a lot of questionable situations, but, you know, I thank the universe that I haven't been in some real bad situations. I try to steer clear of certain things. Listen, what somebody eat doesn't make me shit. I you know what I'm saying, and vice versa. So I have a moral code that goes beyond my job, but I'm not going to put myself in harm's way either. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it is. Because I get another job, but could that person get another life? And could I actually sit back and deal with the fact that I could have did something, but I chose not to? That's just not who I am. But I will say this to something that Ms. Cherry or Mr. Joe said earlier. There was another situation where there was a guy on the train that just started punching some woman. And then the other guy came and jumped in. A 29-year-old gentleman came and jumped in to help. And it was two guys, and they started punching him too.
They started
beating on him too. And then these two guys, they got away. So both of these people in the hospital, just getting punched, you know, just getting beat on. And that guy, he jumped in, he helped. He did the right thing, but he suffered the consequences. And the sad part is it makes people not want to get involved because they don't want to become a victim.
Right.
And there's another thing, too. Do you know it's unconstitutional for the New York police to jump in and protect you? I'm glad you guys
are
from New York.
That's not their job. That's not their job. They're there to enforce the law. They're about law enforcement. But if you're breaking the law, like assaulting someone, then you're breaking the law. They got to get you.
Yeah, but they don't have to jump in. You remember the case about a couple of years ago? There was a New York transit cop in New York on the train in the conductor's car. He was watching a crime go down. From inside the conductor. He didn't jump out. He didn't do anything. They sued, and then the Supreme Court said that the cop did not have an obligation to intervene. Now that's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. Wow. I've never heard of that. I might have looked that one up. I've never heard of that.
He was a conductor or
the
he
transit
was a cop on the train?
No, it was a transit cop.
Doesn't sound right.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Well, transit cops, I don't think any cop,
listen, if they see a crime being committed, they're supposed to get involved.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. I don't know the situation or the circumstances, you know, around the situation. But, you know, once again, with the turmoil that's going on in New York and going on across the country, period, the thing that I don't want to see, as I've kind of hinted around earlier, is all it's going to take is another Bernard Goetz situation. All it's going to take is for people to start taking the law into their own hands.
Right.
And then next thing you know, that's when the shit is going to spill over.
I supported Bernard Goetz. I thought Bernard Goetz was on the right.
No, I believe too, but the whole thing is...
Oh, a lot of people were pissed off at Bernard Goetz.
Well, the only reason why, because they tried to turn it into a racial thing. It wasn't
racial
a racial
issue.
Thing.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't racial.
That man was
defending himself.
Yeah, I've seen because
he was about to get robbed.
They was trying hard to
all
do
these
that.
People jumped in and he did this.
They got him on a technicality because he shot a guy in the back. That's what they got him on.
I think one of the other issues was the gun. It wasn't his premise.
It wasn't registered.
It was a gun that he was supposed to. It was either that or it wasn't registered. But the whole thing is, I mean, what was he supposed to do? See, like I said, it's going to get to a point where people are going to start taking the law into their own hands. Like this crime, listen, this mayor or all these mayors or someone across the 50 states, they need to do something. But this is why there's also a call that at least I think about 20 states now are allowing concealed carry.
Good. Because you know what it is? There was something I remember years ago, and I'm sure you remember, Brother B, you know, because we're the same age group. Do you remember back in the days when kids used to get robbed after school by these gangs? You know what that produced? A lot of kids started carrying knives. Some kids started buying guns. And trust me, people were so, you know, there's enough you could do to somebody. There's enough that people could stand, and after that, you know what? I can't stand this anymore. You know what? Fuck it. Now I'm going to start shooting motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And this is what exactly is going to happen. It's going to lead to it.
It's not even hot yet.
No.
Not even started.
We used to have a program, Scared Straight, where they were going to the prisons. And,
scared
of little kids and stuff like that. I think they need to bring something like that back, but on the radio, because a lot of times we see people get arrested and they disappear and then they're back on the street. Until they had the Central Park Five and they really showed what happened to that one guy. I don't think it clicked to a lot of people that how bad it could get. You know,
it could get rough in there, especially when you have to deal with those doing life. They have nothing to lose.
Well, not in Rikers. Those are the other jails. But Miss Cherry, listen, I see it out here. I know you see it out here. These little cats ain't scared of jail. To them, jail is some type of rite of passage. They love it. But you know what? I was talking with this African guy one day. And he said, listen, these jokers out here, they don't know. Let them go to a prison in my country. You're sleeping on the floor with a piece of bread and a rat running across your leg. Over here, jail is a country club. You get medical.
Yeah, absolutely.
You get the live. You get education. You get everything you can get in the outside. So that's not jail. So what's the difference? He said,
They're in there with their peoples.
Jeffrey from the third floor. But we got a minute left. Listen, all I can say is just, everyone just be careful out there, man. Sometimes you don't want to think about it because you don't drive yourself crazy. But, no one wants to walk out their door and look over their shoulder all the time. Nowadays it just seems like it's gotten to that point. So I would say to Mr. Joe, thank you, K Dog, Miss Cherry, Big Red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got love for you guys. Please be safe out there, and
you
guys,
everybody else.
As I tell my daughter, watch your 3, 6, 9, your 12, and everything in between. Mm-hmm. And on that note, another one in the can. Everybody have a great week. Catch you next week, and y'all remember,
great
absolute
weekend, everyone.
Right.
Good night, all.
Monday night, 10 p.m.
Night.
All right, y'all.
Be safe.
Later, guys.
Later.